Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Welcome to La Liga Weekly. Quick note for general life, if you are the one winding somebody up, then you can't take the moral high ground on whether they react to being wound up. Oh, look at you getting all hot and bothered because of you. Yeah, but people will do it more. Yes, people like you. We'll be offering some patronising advice to Vinicius Jr. later after his latest on-field spat, which for him is another name for a football match. Rafa Benitez, tactical genius, saw his Celta side score twice at the Bernabeu. In fact, 19% of goals in this weekend's game were own goals. Barcelona finally played on a Friday, and frankly, they can go back to the weekends after that performance. I saw it written this weekend that they're at risk of being over-dependent on a 16-year-old winger. Well, better than being over-dependent on a whole load of ancient defenders. Yes, Atleti were the latest side to be felled by the Cadiz goal machine. Simeone faces a big showdown with his old club Inter as part of a Spain versus Italy doubleheader this week. The winning league will be the one most furiously denounced by the Premier League's cheerleaders. In other news, Real Madrid's Brahim Diaz has decided to play for Morocco rather than Spain. Fancy switching nations at the age of 24. Anyway, Ireland's Terry Gibson is here. You're too late for a call-up, Terry. I know Republic of Ireland are struggling a bit, but...
That's from me. Where do I start? Brexit, the EU, and I found... to explain this, I did know my grandfather was from Northern Ireland. Always known that, of course. And I do remember him. He died when I was young.
Yeah.
But I do remember him. But I never thought... The penny never drops that...
Did it never occur? In your day, Colin Clark, 13 goals was the record for Northern Ireland.
Oh, no, I tried. Well, the story was, I was sharing a room when I just joined Manchester United, and I was sharing a room with Norman Whiteside on an away trip. And I was talking to him and said, oh, my granddad's from Northern Ireland. And he leapt on it straight away. I hadn't played for, obviously, hadn't played for England. I just got moved to Man United, so I was playing in the top division. And he leapt on it straight away, and he rang Billy Bingham in the room while I was laying on the bed next to him. In our sharing room. And Billy Bingham was really keen on it. And do you know why I wasn't allowed?
No.
Because I played for England under 18s.
Oh, really? Oh, it's changed so many times, hasn't it?
Exactly.
At some other point of your career, that probably did change within your career.
No, it didn't.
Did you check again?
Yep. And it stayed the same throughout my career. Right. So I couldn't play for Northern Ireland because I played as an under-18 England international.
Right, okay.
So that was the end of that, and it never changed. And so now we have the extent where you can actually play friendly matches for a senior international team and then change if it's a
Diego Costa, the great Spanish striker Diego Costa. Well, loads of examples now, aren't there? And obviously Brahim. Has Brahim played? I can't remember. Has he been in the Spain squad?
No, he hasn't played.
Yeah.
I think Munir was nabbed, wasn't he, by Spain at a young age, and he's been allowed to change.
Yeah.
Although I don't think he's been picked by Morocco recently, so no one wants him. It's It is a weird. I look back now, I think that was ridiculous. I was in under 18 youth international, and it stopped me playing full international football.
Yeah.
So I had to stick with England, and short and long of it is I'm never good enough. So I've loved. So I joke now that that could have been me scoring that goal in 1986 that Gerry Armstrong scored against Spain, and I could have had the year in Mallorca.
You wouldn't have made the commercial advantage out of it that Gerry has. To be fair, it fell to the right guy.
that was a shame. But no, and I didn't realise to finish that story off that because my grandfather was from Belfast, I didn't realise that you could qualify for a Irish passport. I thought Northern Ireland was UK and Great Britain. But you have a choice.
Yeah, so Good Friday Agreement. That was
so. I applied for Irish citizenship and got it last week.
Yeah.
So next step is the passport, which allows me to not have to stress about travelling to Spain on a regular basis to work.
Yes. So have you got that now? Because we've had many discussions, listeners, about Terry counting his days and how many days you're allowed to be in the EU and all of that stuff. So, all soon a thing of the past.
Yep, I've got a certificate of Irish citizenship through the Foreign Births Register, and now the application for the passport's gone in, which should take about 10, 20 days. So maybe by my next trip, because we've got an international break and a Copa del Rey final break, that by the time I next come to Spain, I'll be back on the using my Irish passport.
Yes.
I got it.
A proud Irishman, everybody. Yes.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day next week.
Yeah. If you're from other parts of the world, the English have this notion that the Irish drink all the time. It's probably unfair. I've never looked it up that there's any kind of evidence, but I think one thing that definitely happens is English people go to Ireland and then drink very heavily. very definitely true. Anyway, we need to talk about the most persecuted man in football, Terry. So Vinicius and the fouls. I was looking at fouls. Obviously, we know this. La Liga, I think the top nine fouling clubs.
Yeah.
There's too much of it. And was it Mingueza who? I was annoyed. Now, I know we'll get to what Vinny's got to do and not to in a bit. I was annoyed about that foul because he got fouled. They tried to foul him once. Mingueza literally grabs hold of him. And it's like he's trying, like a runaway horse or something, that he's trying to hold on to. It's like he's got both hands on his shirt, but he's still running, and he's pulling him along. I'm thinking, that's so cynical, honestly, you know. It's not two games in a row. We've lost count how many games this season Vinny has got really annoyed and wound up with people. My point at the top of the intro is that Celta Vigo, his opponents cannot take a moral high ground. You are deliberately doing it. Now, other people can. We, as neutral commentators, can. Ancelotti, absolutely 100% fine that he defends him publicly. Entirely the right thing to do. But when you are deliberately winding the guy up, you then can't get all huffy like Celta Vigo did. Oh, look at him, he's pushed. Yeah, it's what you wanted. Literally what you're trying to achieve.
I was interested in talking to the lip readers that I was working alongside after the programme, Jamie Easton and Guillaume. And Mingueza and the Celta teammates, their argument was, at least I didn't kick you to Vinicius. So that's where we start at. And we do see that if someone's getting a kick, even an innocuous trip to cynically bring someone down can result in an injury. So the argument the Celta players had was, that irritates me. Everybody knows that cynical foul where everyone laughed at this idea, this notion of a 10-minute sin bin,
the blue
something
card
like that. Yeah. I back it 100% to stop what we saw last night because the referee hasn't got the power to do anything other than a yellow card. And Vinicius is silly getting involved because there is nothing else the referee can do. It's not an aggressive kick. It's cynical. It's a professional foul. We say he's taking one for the team. It's absolute nonsense. And it's become a trend. It's become something that's done. It didn't used to happen. It's suddenly appeared in the last 5 years, probably, I'd say, where everyone's accepted. Maybe one or two teams were quick off the mark and did it earlier.
I think
Man City get accused of it, don't they? With Pep.
They do. I think Chelsea have become cynical. But I would say it happens more in La Liga. As I spend my weekend watching both leagues, the Liga defenders are more cynical. Cynical defending is a massive thing.
And the amount of times I sat here watching all the games of the weekend, tutting because I'm thinking, that's not a foul. So you said about the amount of fouls that are given per game. You see the slow motion, you think, minimal contact. It happens, without exaggerating, between 5 and 10 times a game. The game is stopped for a non-foul that the referee has given. And that's got to stop as well. But that cynical one, I detest it. It really irritates me that Mingueza thinks he can do that because he can. He knows he's only going to get a yellow card. And Vinicius is probably wrong to react in the way that he did. My issue with Vinicius is that he's going to learn a lesson the hard way. And it might be that, you know, he's adored by the Real Madrid fans, rightly so. He's an incredible footballer. But he's going to learn the hard way in a big match. When he does that with the wrong referee, which he did last night, which he did against RB Leipzig, it might cost his team a result. It might be a Champions League semi-final against Bayern Munich and he gets sent off after 15 minutes because opponents are going to wind him up. That's happened as long as football existed. This is not new to just because it's Vinicius. It goes back through the history of football that great players get targeted. And if they know you've got a flaw, they will target that flaw and they will hope that you will snap and retaliate and react and you get sent off. That happens. It's always happened. And I would hate to see Vinicius learn the hard way. Like a David Beckham. David Beckham was idolised, wasn't he? He has the silly flick out at Simeone. England get knocked out of the World Cup. David Beckham was blamed. Okay, he's recovered. His life recovered and his career recovered. But Vinicius, that's going to happen with Vinicius, where he might cost Real Madrid and his teammates, they might get knocked out of the Champions League because he gets sent off after 20 minutes because someone's wound him up and he's reacted and Real Madrid are down to 10 men and they lose. And I know, even though he's adored by the media, the Real Madrid press, if Real Madrid were to go out of a Champions League match because Vinicius gets sent off after 20 minutes, he will be run out of town. Life will be really difficult. And I just hope and wished he would learn a lesson now rather than learn the lesson the hard way by doing something like that. And the responsibility comes down to his teammates. His teammates have got to tell him that you are so important to us, so important to the team, so important to our cause that we don't want you doing that and getting sent off. I mean, Gazer.
But it's
getting his way. So
on Vinny, still, we all react in different ways, don't we? And some people draw their energy from different sources. And he doesn't mind a fight, and he doesn't seem to play any worse once he's lost his temper. No. He seems to carry on playing okay. So you've got a choice in a sense. Do you take the fight back to them, as in, because what that did, his reaction means that we're talking about it. If he had been a bit more messy about it and walked away, we would never mention Mingueza's foul.
No.
But every 15th podcast, I mentioned too many yellow cards and you know et cetera. But it's now the main talking point, isn't it? Because Vinny made a thing of it. So in a sense, sometimes you are right to take the fight. If it depends on the personal cost to you. And if he can stay just getting the odd yellow card for pushing people, and if he's on-field performances keep up, is it such a bad thing for him to take the fight back to the cynical defenders?
Yeah, I don't think there is a need, though. I think the reason we're talking about this one from the game against Celta is because of what happened midweek against RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
So if this had just been yesterday, I don't think we would mention it. I don't think La Liga TV would bring it up, but it's been twice in 4 days. Where he has reacted. So it's a little bit of a pattern that we can't ignore. And I don't think it's premeditated from him at all. I don't think there's anything about him that, I think it's just a heat of the moment reaction, but he's 23 years of age. I would hope and trust that Modric and Toni Kroos and people like that who are older and have the wisdom and the experience can explain to him what I was talking about earlier about how he's important to the team, that it could be costly for him and costly for Real Madrid if he was to do it in the wrong scenario, wrong circumstances. So I think that's the reason why we're talking about it, is because it's happened twice in 4 days. And I must admit, in the intro, when you're talking about those things, I thought you were talking, I assumed it was Vinicius, but there's also a part of me thinking, is that, we're talking about Jimmy Avila here as well.
We'll
come to that later.
Yes.
But with Vinicius, I don't think there's anything premeditated. He doesn't go out to antagonise. He wants to play football. He wants to enjoy it. I do notice a little different attitude sometimes in his play when he tries to provoke with the tricks and the skills and stuff. And sometimes if you see that in the first 10 or 15 minutes, I think he's at it today.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
He's looking to antagonise opponents, which I'm not totally against, to be honest, other than the fact that if he does these tricks and flicks, there has to be an end product. Again, that comes down to his teammates to say, you know, if you're going to do that, make sure you get the other side of the defender or a better pass was on. That's education from teammates that have the experience. But you can tell in the first 10 minutes last night, he did a couple of tricks and I'm thinking he's got the ump with Celta. He's trying to provoke. Now, whether this is a regular occurrence now with Vinicius because of his current attitude or not, I don't know, because he thinks the world is against him. Trust me, Vinicius. Oh, no, he's not a listener to the podcast. The world
might
isn't.
Be. Might be.
They love watching you play football.
Yeah.
And, you know, most people around the world, if they don't support one of Real Madrid's rivals, do enjoy watching you play. So we're not all haters. We all, you know, thoroughly enjoy, and it's a pleasure to have someone like Vinicius playing football at the moment. We always need new young stars, and he fits that bill. So we're not against you, Vinicius. We enjoy watching you play. Just we don't want to see you get sent off early for things you could.
There was the ludicrous, I mean, again, hyperbole, Ancelotti saying he's the most persecuted man in football. And as you probably pointed out, you know, Ancelotti played in Italy in the Maradona era.
Yeah.
As well as he didn't say ever, obviously, though. I mean, if you don't know, this Asif Kapadia's documentary film of Maradona was extraordinary, wasn't it? I mean, he was persecuted. And talking about people who didn't mind facing up to a fight, you know, literally spent his whole life doing it, didn't he? And yeah, he was all right.
I mean, that was my, without even knowing that was going to be spoken about last night during the commentary, Maradona immediately comes to mind. I mean, everybody in Italy hated Napoli. Everybody in Italy hated Maradona. And it was perhaps around the rest of the world he was hated by most countries, who all had a grudging respect for the player he was. But he was pretty persecuted. I mean, Napoli won that title and the rest of Italy didn't want them to, and they barely ever win a title. They'd never won a title. It was a fantastic football story that they'd never won a title. And until recently, they'd never won another title without Maradona. And, you know, that part of the culture, the southern Italy, Naples, the rest of it didn't want them to win the title. And it's
great. Sorry. Stuff, Maradona.
Yeah.
So we did the rest of the game, 4-0. I might have been confused in the intro. 2 own goals, which really didn't help along the way for Celta Vigo. And then Arda Güler with a nice moment at the end. It was a nice finish to the game for Real Madrid.
It was, and it was the scoreline reflected the dominance that they showed. They got a little bit untidy in the second half, and the fans got a little bit impatient that it was only a 1-0 lead. Celta really frustrated me last night. I hope they didn't come across in my commentary, but there were basic fundamental flaws in their game that I just couldn't put up with any longer. I was snapping. You know, the ball was going up to Strand Larsen and Aspas, and particularly Aspas, he kept giving it the ball away. They never gave his team... He never gave his teammates a chance to get up the pitch and have a breather from defending, constant defending. And then, and most importantly, they lacked aggression in challenges. Now, I know Celta players are not as good as Real Madrid, that's clear. But as an underdog, you don't have to work harder. You have to be more determined. You have to give yourself a chance. Even that might not be enough. But that is one of the basic elements you have to have to show some belief, to show some fight, show some spirit. And man marked properly at a corner. I mean, Real Madrid had 10 corners. I reckon 8 of those were headed first by a white shirt in that game last night. The first one in the first few minutes, Camavinga, clear header. Rüdiger, 2 goals came from Rüdiger's headers from corners. I was looking at it and I see Unai Nunes collapsed to the floor because Lucas Vasquez tapped him on the shoulder. if you see, I think it's Manquillo and Nacho for Vinicius' goal. I've never seen anything like it. Manquillo wraps his arms around Nacho, but not very hard. The ball goes over Nacho's head. Nacho doesn't have to respond. Rüdiger wins the header. Vinicius has 2 attempts and taps it in. And Manquillo is standing there with his arm around Nacho. It's like he's posing for a picture with a fan. And literally, it's probably 5, maybe more than 5 seconds. They're in this pose, and you can see me. I've got my arm. I don't know why I'm doing that. And it was like the picture. Someone asking for a picture with Manquillo and Nacho. No, there's no aggression in it. They're just leaning against each other, and Manquillo's got his arm around him as if say someone's like the lack of desire. Starfelt was the only exception. I thought he was magnificent at the back on his own. Cuita made some decent saves, but saves you would expect. So Real Madrid weren't as efficient as the scoreline suggests. To be honest, they've got lots of chances, didn't take them. So it really irritated me that an underdog team going to Real Madrid, you're in a relegation battle, Cadiz won the day before, and the lack of desire. So it's not criticism of Rafa Benitez and the tactics, the 5 at the back, whether it's 4 at the back, it doesn't matter. It was just those basic elements of you can't get out-tackled by better players. You can't be beaten up every time a corner comes into the box and allow unopposed headers. And if you're ever going to break out and play counter-attacking play, you can't have your centre-forwards, particularly Aspas, giving the ball away so cheaply. So the 4-0 scoreline reflects the true nature of the dominance that Real Madrid had, particularly in the first half. And they run away with it at the end. And it was an important win for Real Madrid. Because 1-0 at the start of the second half, it got a little bit untidy, and you thought there's a possibility here. But Celta weren't good enough to do that.
Yeah.
But there was a possibility of another draw, another equaliser from Celta. For some reason, they score from a set piece, they get a penalty or something. And Real Madrid have been drawing not too many games. They're entitled to a little downturn in form, which has happened. The complications of the Champions League matches. They beat Girona. Maybe they thought the title was wrapped up, lacking a little bit of motivation. But last night, I thought their form was much better. And they easily deserve the 4-0 victory.
Well, you referenced Chimi Avila. Shall we go to the Betis Villarreal game next?
And the Oscar goes to... I can't believe we didn't mention that. I've only seen the Oscars was today. I've wrapped up all weekend in the Liga action. I can't believe we never brought up the award for... Yes. I don't know what the award would be. I don't know.
Awful acting. So how do we compare and contrast Chimi Avila to Vinicius then? I mean, he's got this reputation, Chimi Avila, as a fighter, as a tough guy. But I mean, what was the matter with him yesterday? So he ends up, Alberto Moreno has now been sent off in successive games for Villarreal in the awful Europa League game on Thursday. They got thrashed and didn't help them. But then, so he was getting sent off anyway. Then Jimmy Avila manages to get himself sent off, but he started off as the victim, victim in inverted commas. ends up managing. And
we're
funny,
not
we'd seen.
Jimmy's persecuted now. Aren't
yeah.
Jimmy's...
but we'd seen a couple of weeks ago, was it, where we saw Pablo Fornals was talking in the tunnel and he was picked up by the microphone, wasn't he? That basically saying we need to calm Jimmy down, otherwise he'll end up getting sent off.
And then start a war. This is we don't need, he said, we don't need Jimmy to start a war.
Yeah.
Now, this
yeah,
is from a teammate who's Jimmy and him have only been at the club a few weeks.
Yeah.
And already he's picked up. And against Athletic Club at home, Pellegrini had to take him off because twice he feigned serious injury and the referee was sick of it and was on the verge of sending him off. Yeah. And Pellegrini substituted him. I actually, funny enough, I don't think either player should have been sent off. When you look at it in the cold light of day, I think the referee's lost his nerve and he's just had enough and he's chucking out the cards like anything. There is nothing in that that you look at and think, oh, the idiot is Jimmy because he's feigning injury left, right and centre. Is there a headbutt from Alberto Moreno? No. It's one of those where they go close. It's head to head, but it happens. And Jimmy throws himself on the floor. And then Alberto Moreno pulls his ear, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Slightly. And Jimmy throws himself over in the air and again spins on the floor and looks at the assistant referee. And
starts screaming at the assistant referee, which is what he got sent off for the second yellow.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
Alberto Moreno has already got the second yellow.
Yeah.
I don't know what punishment Jimmy wants. He's out of his mind. Yeah. I don't know what punishment does he want on top of a red card. There is no punishment on top of a player being sent off.
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, then should Jimmy get another yellow card for saying to the referee, he pulled my ear, telling tales on a player, exaggerating injury? Yeah, probably being a dick. So, yeah, send him off. But other than that, I don't think there was actually enough reason to send either of them off.
I wonder.
It's a pathetic, childlike, ridiculous situation.
Yeah. I wonder whether the ref basically agreed with you and basically knew. It's awkward for refs when players exaggerate because they have to punish, they have to act on the actual foul. So sometimes a fairly innocuous foul occurs and a player will go rolling around like they're in agony. And the ref's thinking, I'm going to have to give you, I don't want to give you a free kick now because look at you, but it's sort of his. I'm going to have to give you the penalty or the free kick or whatever. And so, and then I think he's probably thinking, he probably knows Jimmy Avila is having stupid histrionics and wants to send him off and wants to book him. Yeah. I think it's that. I think he was literally thinking, and you know what, I sort of don't mind.
You know. No, I agree with you. I agree with you, actually. Because when you look at each incident and go, that's not a yellow card, that's not a second yellow card, that's not a yellow card, but they've both been sent off.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Reina goes off. It's not even an aggressive head-to-head, is it? It's face-to-face, I would say, not head-to-head. And Jimmy goes down as if he's been poleaxed.
Yeah.
And then it continues, and Baena is standing next to the pair of them and says, but what would you do then as a referee? There isn't a headbutt from Alberto Moreno. There isn't. They get too close, but there's no headbutt. And a grown man throws himself up in the air and then hits the deck. I don't know what you'd do as a referee. Would you go for the player that's acting, that's provoking to try to get an opponent sent off and show? Because the Athletic Club game, the referee was going to do that.
Yeah.
Twice he warned him. He said, you've done it over there. You've done it here. It happened twice in about 5 minutes. And he waved the finger at him as if to say, stop it.
That's a good question. You know, I don't know. It'd be interesting to hear from referees because we had this definition, that this word, Orwellian word of simulation, which was, I don't know quite what simulation means in the context of football, but what it could mean feasibly is a catch-all to allow referees to book people for over-exaggerating. But we never see it because it'd be lovely. And I think football fans would go for it, except for your own team. When basically, if you exaggerate, talking about our own team, Middlesbrough had it the other week against Norwich, Johnny Howson got kicked a bit. It was a red card because it was a bit of a kick. He rolls over on the floor like someone's hit him with a poleaxe. if he'd then booked house.
What is a Polex?
It's a medieval article of warfare, basically. I think it's like a big wooden stick with an axe tied to the end of it. Or a footballer being knocked over gently.
And his ear tugged.
Yeah.
So ultimately, what could have happened there in the cold light of day, if you were the referee, you could have seen that face-to-face tap and just booked Jimmy. Alberto Moreno, I think, had been booked for the foul or something.
Yeah.
And then just booked Jimmy and say, look, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
There's a yellow card. You're a grown man. You're throwing yourself on the floor. You're not knocked out. You haven't been floored. Get up. There's a yellow card. And then, because sometimes you do see a skirmish, two players involved, they both get a red card and you think, well, hang on, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
The referee's just cleared the mess up by sending you both off.
Yeah.
And that person hasn't actually done it.
Yeah.
When you break it down,
yeah,
he hasn't done anything. He hasn't, I got sent off for it and I thought afterwards, do you know, I wish I'd chinned him.
Yeah.
Someone was aggressive against me. I reacted in defence and I got sent off and I'm thinking, well, I may as well chinned him.
Yeah,
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It was a coming together. It was a scuffle. People jumped in and pulled it apart. But I actually didn't do anything. But just to keep the peace, the referee sent us both off.
Because the punishments are really blunt, either. It's free kick, yellow card, red card. Whereas there's a whole range of subtlety within that that could, of offences within that. Because I think there is a case for Alberto Moreno. And I also think, I mean, he needs to stay on the pitch.
Yeah.
It doesn't help, does it, that he keeps getting sent off. Rest of the game. I mean, it was a really good game. And Villarreal was so bad on Thursday night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
So it was really good of them to, you know, really good for them to come back. Loads of little bits in this, wasn't it? Guido coming back, starting, scoring. William Jose, that was a lovely goal, wasn't it? That he was on the end of. Sorloth scoring again, another own goal. Ultimately a win for Villarreal. Shame in a way that was overshadowed by that stupid couple of minutes.
I agree with you totally. It was good. It was a slow burn. It took a while to get going. First goal comes after half an hour. Before that, I was thinking, I was expecting this game to be different. I expected Villarreal to be conceding more chances because they don't keep clean sheets. They don't, defensively, they're still not very good. I think it's 51 goals conceded now. And it is literally the two teams below them, Almeria 55, who haven't won a game. They've only conceded 4 more goals than Betis, than Villarreal. And Granada, 57 at the worst. So at half-time, when they were 2-1 down, I was asked, how do Villarreal get back in this game? And I said, well, I don't think they're going to... I think they'll concede more goals. So they're so good in attack, I think 5th or 6th best attack. So for Marcelino, from now, in this game and for the rest of the season, his motto has got to be trying to outscore their opponents. They did it at Barcelona 5-3. They do it 3-2 at Betis. They've won recently at Real Sociedad as well. So I was surprised last night when I got the teams and there was only 2 changes from the team that beat Granada last week. 3, sorry, the goalkeeper, mainly coming for Mosquera, and Comesaña coming for Etienne Capoue. But there were 6 changes from the team that got thrashed at Marseille. So I don't think Marcelino has got the luxury yet of not picking his strongest team for any game. He rotated against Marseille. He has to take the blame for it's a heavy, heavy cost. You can't make that many changes when you're struggling to find form. You've got a successful film where you can pin your hopes on, which is an attacking play, because in Traore, in Moreno, and Soloff, and Baena, they will score goals. So it was, I really enjoyed this game. Jorgensen had to play well. There could have been more goals in it. The Villarreal keeper had a blinder. And Betis, Pellegrini has got to find a way to, I mean, you're looking at Cardoso and Mark Rocha have been the regular midfield players. Cardoso has been sensational. And last week, William Carvalho came back off the bench and was fantastic. Guido Rodriguez is a quality player. Those two started last night. So you've got four good central, really good central midfield players. You've got an abundance of attacking players now. And somehow in the next few weeks, Pellegrini is going to have to try and find the winning formula for them in La Liga. That's all they've got left. You know, I see Perez is back from injury. You've got Fornals, you've got Fekir, you've got Tammy Abada, who's going to be suspended, obviously, William Jose. You know, Abde, Rodri. There's lots of good attacking players. And somehow Pellegrini, been a good winter transfer market and players returning back from injury. But now he's got to quickly find a formula which suits the team best and in their fight for a European spot. And it's to the extent now, Villarreal got a chance of Europe.
Yeah.
1 minute, 5 minutes ago, they were relegation candidates. And now you're looking at it and think, oh, actually, they're 5 points off of a European spot, I think, now, which is astonishing. Yeah, 35 points, 7 points off. So it's a good turnaround for Villarreal. And with the players they have in attacking positions, they've got to go for it in the second league against Marseille. It's not impossible to win a game 4-0, take it into extra time. But Marseille away is slightly different to playing at the Estadio Ceramica. A bit of a different atmosphere. It's a slow burner in that stadium. When you play away at Marseille, it feels like you're playing against 12 players. Even if Villarreal get a couple, the crowd will get behind them, but it won't be the same as playing at the Velodrome, that's for sure.
Barcelona play Friday night, Terry. I mean, they're going to win. Is it three clean sheets since the Napoli game in a row, isn't it? So the 0-0 against Athletic, 4-0 against Getafe, and then 1-0 against Mallorca. So we're back. This was a kind of last season performance, wasn't it? Lit up by a really good goal by Lamine Yamal, but with changes, uninspiring, got the win.
Yeah, I kind of feel for Barcelona and Xavi at the moment, to be honest. When you look at the team, it's a makeshift team. Rafinha then comes off injured in this game. It was a weird one. I'm not convinced it was a penalty, and I think there is a touch, there is contact, but I don't think there's a foul there. And the contact wasn't significant enough, but it did lead to Rafinha coming off injured, which then meant another shuffle around. Lewandowski was rested on the bench because of the game coming up against Napoli. Marc Guéhou came in, and he did okay. He's a young player. Don't be critical of him, but they really found it hard, as I expected, even with a full-strength Barcelona team, to break down Mallorca. Mallorca are a decent team. They're below where they should be in the league, but in the Copa del Rey final. And Mallorca in this game, Cole Larin and Vedat Marinci up front, they cause some problems. But you're right, they do rely on... I'm sure we've said this before. Where do Barcelona go from here? Because a 16-year-old... And I found out he is still school age in Barcelona. Right, I don't know what the situation. No one seems to know. There is education at La Masia. But he has been attending, I don't know, no one knows now, until recently, school.
Mm.
And that's what it's astonishing what this kid's doing. He's a kid. I mean, I was joking last night, Guillaume Balaguer on the programme said he's not going to be Messi. And we don't want to compare him to Messi in terms of, but we don't even know what sort of player he's going to be. We can tell now at 16, this is the player he is at this moment in time. And I joked about he may grow 6 or 7 inches and he may put on 10 kilos. He's 16.
Yeah.
And then suddenly we're looking at a big bloke that plays centre forward and knocks people about. I don't know. We don't know how he's going to physically develop. But it's astonishing. And he had the little warm-up the other night where Rakovic made a tip, got a little touch to it, it hit the crossbar, and he repeated exactly the same move again irritates me Lewandowski gets the assist, so that would go down as a goal contribution, which has become one of those new buzzwords that people say. All Lewandowski did was hold the ball up, move it onto him, he jinks, drops his shoulder, cuts inside, a few more touches and wraps his foot around it in the top corner, and that goes down as an assist to Lewandowski. So, but that goal was born out of an individual talent that at 16 years of age. And we kind of got used to him playing, but we mustn't forget, he's 16. It's astonishing. It's, you know, there's all sorts of safeguarding for children of that age. Even in professional football in England, there are safeguarding issues about, I don't know if people are aware of it, they can't change in the changing room as an adult.
You don't get showered and stuff. Yeah.
And here we are talking about one of the biggest football clubs in the world relying on a child. I know you have to grow up quickly in some aspects of life, and football is one of those if you're playing for Barcelona. He's 16. And the other best player was Pau Cubarsí. You're worrying about a 17-year-old boy. He was only just turned 17. He was 16 when he made his debut. And you're looking at Pau Cubarsí up against Marici and Cole Larin. He bullied him. He at the time, just thinking, careful, don't give away a silly foul, or you're going to get yourself booked. He was aggressive to them.
Yeah.
And he was good at bringing the ball out. He's good at passing. Attitude is ridiculous for a 17-year-old. And then, you know, I'm looking at him thinking, Vinicius is 23. I want to see Lamine Yamal at 23. Seven years' time, that is, that he'll be the same age as Vinicius is now, where Vinicius is close to reaching his peak because of the way he's been nurtured at Real Madrid. And I don't want to see an Ansu Fati. I don't want to see what's happening to Pedri and what's happened to Gavi. I want to see, I really look forward to seeing a 23-year-old Lamine Yamal to see what type of player he is and how good he is. I expect him to be a fantastic player, but at 16, it's just absolutely astonishing. I mean, they struggled to the win. They deserved the win. Gundogan's penalty was decisive. It shouldn't be on penalties again. There's nothing about that penalty that suggests he's a penalty taker. It was weak. It was down the middle. There was no disguise on it. And it was an easy save for Rakovic. That would have changed the nature of the game. If they got 1-0 up relatively early, then they're in control of the match. So after that, it was a struggle until Lamine Yamal scores in the 73rd minute. It was a mixed bag from Barcelona, as I said, the young ones. But where did Barcelona go from here? Do they sacrifice winning trophies and spending absolute fortunes in the next couple of years? Because it's not going to take long for these. I mean, I see Cubarsí, I have echoes of Carlos Puyol, I see Lamine Yamal, and you have echoes of all those great players that played for Barcelona on the wing. Do you sell some of the expensive purchases you've made recently? Do you rely on good, solid, experienced players to help the young ones come through? Do you chuck them all in and leave it a couple of years and see where it takes you? Or because at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a plan other than we'll buy players that maybe in the past weren't good enough for Barcelona. We may take players that are past their peak on cheap because they're free. And then we chuck in some of these youngsters in an emergency. So it's a difficult situation for Xavi and Barcelona. So they do have my sympathy. I mean, the list of injuries is ridiculous they've got at the moment. And it's not ideal. Many people make Napoli favourites now in the second leg against Barcelona due to performances we've seen recently and the players available to Xavi.
Yeah, yes, we'll see. We'll round up the European games with another podcast for the patrons later in the week. Girona won 2-0. It's actually a relatively important win for them, Terry, against Osasuna, because we'd started to wonder whether they'd blown out a little bit. So, you know, nothing sensational about beating Osasuna 2-0, but it was good to see them, well, from the Girona point of view, good for them to do it.
And they played well, most importantly. They actually, I recognise them for the team we've seen most of the season. Because I say most, the last two or three games, I didn't recognise them as much. There wasn't that attitude towards attacking play that we've seen throughout the rest of the season. They looked a little bit shaky. They looked quite normal in the last two or three games. They suffered after the Real Madrid defeat. But they bounced back and they not only won this game, deserved to win this game, they were really good. The game went on, they got better and better. By the end of the game, you're looking at it and thinking, this is the reason Girona have been so successful this season. So it wasn't just the result, it was the performance as well. And I saw a stat, and I haven't had the opportunity to watch it back fully. And I'm working on La Liga TV on Monday evening. I'm hoping to bring it up with him. The first goal, which was fantastic from Siankov, the finish from Paul Two, was a 24-pass move. And I haven't been able to, I'm not at home. I can't rewind it and pause it and stop it and count it. And it's the fourth time this season that they've done that, over 20 passes for a goal. Only Real Madrid have done it twice, and Las Palmas have done it twice. The only other teams in La Liga that have scored goals with over 20 passes that led to a goal. Also, Girona have done it four times now. Right. And we look at the end of that move, and it's fantastic. The reverse pass, the finish, everything was great. And the second goal was tasty as well. The back heel pass from Alex Garcia into Savio, who finished it off. And all that was reminiscent of all the stuff that we've seen so far this season from Girona, apart from the last three or four games where they've just slightly lost their way. So, no, I was pleased that we saw the true and proper Girona in this game. They deserved that win.
Also, talking of stats that you can't quite remember, I saw somebody list the defenders signed by Atleti in recent seasons. And basically, they don't spend any money. It's like a team at the bottom of the league patching a club at the bottom of the league patching a team together. Whereas at the front end, they've spent proper amounts of money on players and midfielders, and you know, a lot of those guys cost a lot of money.
The latest one is Paulista.
Goals. So the same pattern, isn't it? It's like we'll get a guy in who's been around for 33 or something, isn't he? Get him in, doesn't cost a lot of money, fill a hole, do a job, all of that, buy some proper defenders.
Soyuncu comes into that category.
Yeah.
Azpilicueta comes into that category.
Yeah.
Witsel was signed as a midfielder. He's ended up playing centre-back. It's glaring, the obvious. I mean, there's stats between home and away. Albert Ferrer made on Friday a prediction that Cadiz would beat Atletico. And my immediate reaction was, actually, they might get a draw.
Yeah.
My first reaction was laughed it off. I thought he was joking. Then I thought, actually, Cadiz, they might sneak a draw out of it. And then when they do win, my reaction is not a surprise. They drew with Almeria the previous home game away from home, and Almeria haven't won a game this season. They were quite fortunate to draw. So their form at home and away I'm not sure I've ever come across something as opposite.
Stark,
Stark is, because I think, is it 13 wins out of 14 at home, 13 wins and a draw. And away from home, they've got 15 points away from home and 40 points. 15 points away, 40 points at home.
Yeah, but it fits in. It's not a mystery when you think away, people will attack you more, and the obvious problem is the actual quality of the defenders. It sort of explains it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Four home wins they've got. Four away wins.
Away wins, yeah.
All season.
Yeah.
They've scored 20 goals this season away from home. Seven were against Bayern.
Yeah.
They've won four games, and in those four games...
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of... Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
They've kept four clean sheets, so there's another clue. The only away games they've kept clean sheets in, four clean sheets, and they've scored 13 in the four wins. So that means seven in the other ten games.
Interesting to see how Inter approached the game, wouldn't it? Because normally, you'd be tempted to say, Inter got the one goal, sort of hang on a bit and see what you can do. But if you get at Atleti, you can score against them. So in a sense, they should. I don't know which way it'll go. It could be all really, really cagey, or it could be really good.
I agree with you totally, because Atletico at home are really good. So it's a good result. They only got beat 1-0 away from home against Inter. Yeah, it probably is, to be honest. When you get beat 2-0 at Cadiz are the beneficiaries of signing a new player that's not affected by what's gone on the previous 4 or 5 months. He won me. So he comes in, literally a breath of fresh air, comes in and gets on the score sheet pretty quickly. And now with the two goals to defeat Atletico at the weekend, it's good for the relegation battle.
Yeah.
It puts one or two teams under pressure above that thought, Cadiz haven't won since week four.
Yeah.
They're not going to pick up many points. Recently, they've looked a bit better, a bit more solid. And then someone like Wami is added to the group, comes up with some goals in confident mood. And suddenly it's put three or four teams above them thinking, this is going to be interesting.
And one team below them, where it's probably not going to be that interesting anymore, Granada. Classic for this Granada iteration, wasn't it? At times,
snatched
you thought
defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, you're thinking, they're actually going to beat Real Sociedad. What does it mean? Is it, look at the table. And then they lose the game. So we know what it means. They're going to go down.
It was a massive win for La Real.
Yeah.
It's been a disappointing few weeks. That's an understatement. It was only their third win in the last 12 in La Liga. They got Copa del Rey to Mallorca. They go out to PSG in the Champions League. Then they have a battle, and they must feel they know they're not going to get Champions League again. And getting to Europe is a must for La Real to continue this progress as a club. You know, whether it's the Europa League, the Conference League, it's not the Champions League, but it's a pleasure and privilege for them to be involved in European football. So when they were 2-1 down, 79th minute, when Robin Lennon, Norman, gets the equaliser, that was a big turning point. Granada, it's a bit of a hopeless cause now. 4 or 5 weeks ago, with the new signings, new manager, improved form, I thought they had a chance, but they're just not getting points, not getting wins.
Yeah. So I didn't watch Valencia Getafe. I can't remember what I was doing. So I've seen the highlights. That is a proper chip, isn't it? We were discussing chips.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. So Hugo Duro scores the goal. It's a really nice goal and a really nice finish, where he actually gets underneath it and lifts it high over the goalkeeper. Other than that, what was the aggro level like in the game?
And it wasn't too bad. The issue in this game was Getafe, no Borja Mayoral, no Mason Greenwood.
Right.
So it was an even game. Mamardashvili played well for Valencia. Getafe could have scored goals, but it was an inspiring game. I wouldn't want to spend 10 minutes on this on the podcast. The only thing I would say is Hugo Duro, his 12th goal of the season. Jude Bellingham's Pachichi was 16.
Yeah.
We're now looking at other players and thinking, because I'm not sure Jude Bellingham, he doesn't need to get another 10 goals. What he did in the beginning of the season was ridiculous. And would you back him to get 20? Maybe. If he gets over 20, incredible season. And now I'm looking at Sorloth, who's crept up the goal-scoring charts. Hugo Duro, Mayoral was there. Lewandowski, of course, is still knocking about in that area. But Hugo Duro's 12th goal of the season is fantastic. It really is. And
so the striker's
giving a late push.
Yeah, the strikers are closing in on Bellingham, as it should be, because as you say, he's a midfielder who was outscoring at the start of the season. And so there are loads. Yeah, Bellingham's on 16. Mayoral, 15. Budimir, Dovbik, Morata, 14. Sorloth, 13. Hugo Duro, 12. Lewandowski, 12, etc.
Yeah.
And Gorazeta, 11.
Most unlikely Pachichi winner of all time, I would suggest.
Yeah.
Danny Guitha, was it?
For Mallorca.
He went to the Euros. He's part of the European Championship squads that Spain won. That got him a place in the squad. He was good as well, but it was an unusual. After that, it was Messi and Ronaldo every year.
Yeah.
So it's and then we've had Lewandowski taking over from Messi and Ronaldo, and then this year it could be Hugo Duro, where he's the 12th goal of the season. He could finish Pachichi. So that would be
Or, like I say, good as Etta's a
or even Hosselu.
Yeah.
Hosselu. Yes. If Hosselu plays more, I mean, he came on last night and I did the stats before the game. He's got 8 in 10 starts, yeah. Hosselu. So if he was playing more often, he'd probably win Pochettino.
Yes.
So, yeah, an interesting Pochettino winner this year, it might be. Even if it's Bellingham, who's a midfield player.
Yeah. Las Palmas nil, Athletic Club 2, good as Etta, as I say, and a weird own goal. At first, I thought it was a really good goal.
Danny Vivian. Wrote down Danny Vivian. Fantastic header, similar to Guruzeta. Far post header, back across goal. And then it was Samuel Coco. So it's Saul Coco with the header. And you think,
how's he done that?
Still not sure. Still not sure. It's but again, a massive win for Athletic Club. I mean, their focus has been on the Copa del Rey. Hard league fixture against Barcelona last week on the back of the semi-final win. And then all of a sudden, Atletico getting beat by Cadiz the day before. Refocused the minds. Thoroughly enjoyed watching the Williams brothers and Sanset and Guruzeta. One or two other changes from Ernesto Valverde. They allowed Las Palmas more possession. It was never a problem. They carried more threat, Athletic Club. And 2 points behind Atletico. If you ask me at the moment, who's the better team, Athletic Club?
Yeah.
And I think they'll be grateful the cup finals in 2 or 3 weeks' time. Because that it's not like they got that right at the end of the season and that's in the back of their mind that we could win that. Yeah. That'll be done and dusted and there'll still be a Champions League fight to go on. Yeah. And Athletic Club are really in that fight now. I'm not sure. Do they play Atletico?
Ten games to go. Yeah.
We can now, I will probably allow myself to start looking at remaining fixtures.
Right, okay.
On certain things, run-ins. We're now looking at the run-ins. I think 10 games is
they play
permissible
at the end of,
for me to do so.
Play at the end of April. So Athletic, Metropolitano.
Yep.
So Athletic's run-in is Alaves, then Real Madrid away, then the Copa del Rey final on the 6th of April, and then Villarreal, Granada, Atleti away, Getafe away, Osasuna home, Celta Vigo away, Sevilla at home, Rayo Vallecano away. So we click on Atleti. It's always confusing, isn't it?
It's a time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Tidy little run-in for Athletic Club.
Oh, obviously, Athletic have got Barcelona at home, then Villarreal away, Girona at home, Alaves away, Athletic that game, Mallorca away, Celta, Getafe, Osasuna, Real Sociedad last day. It's hard to say, though, isn't it? Because if they carry on with that home-away thing, then they're not very good, in short.
And Athletic needed to improve their away form as well.
Yeah.
It's tilted.
Yeah,
in favour of their home record. They score more goals at home than they do away normally. A lot more. They get more points at home than they do away. A lot more. 33, I think it is now, 20 points away after that win. So their away form needs to improve. And a win at Las Palmas is a good start.
Yes. So one more game for us to talk about. Alaves got a 1-0 win against Rayo Vallecano. A really good goal, actually, wasn't it? It was a counter-attack.
Fabulous goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And it won them the game. And it's actually quite important because it takes them to 32.
Massive.
Yeah, and at 32, you're thinking, that's pretty safe. I mean, you have to lose every game now, I think, for them to be... they're almost there, aren't they? Whereas there is a little clump, as you say, that result for Cadiz pulls a few back in But Alaves have got a nice little gap there, haven't they now?
A Rio of one of those under pressure.
Yeah.
And no sign of Rio things improving in this game.
Yeah.
I mean, Severa played well in goal, had to make a few saves. Falcao should have equalised in the last seconds of the game. Missed an absolute sitter. A good save from Severa. Falcao was on the follow-up, 4 or 5 yards out, slightly to the right of goal, but still inside the post. Went for power, elevated the shot, hit the bar. Yeah. It was an absolute sitter for anyone, let alone Falcao. So that was costly. But you're right, Luis Garcia Plaza said before the game, this is our most important game of the season. And then he stopped and he went, and next week will be our most important game of the season. As if to say, we're on it. But I think he was emphasising it was against Rio.
Yeah.
And it was a winnable game at home. Alaves newly promoted, 32 points at this stage of the season. They're staying up based on home form.
Mm.
They do win. The most of their wins, they've got 8 wins and 6 have come at home. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how you build a platform. Mm. Make your ground a difficult place to go and play. Win the majority of points at home if you're a newly promoted team. So they celebrated afterwards with the fans as if it looked as if it was the conclusion. But it isn't. It isn't. 32 isn't enough to keep you up. But 10 games to go, another 6 or 7 points should do it. Yes. So I'm not suggesting for one moment they're going to get dragged into a relegation battle or they get relegated, but they can't knock off yet. There's still a bit of work, quite a bit of work to do to make sure they're safe. But
yeah,
Antonio Blanco, great through ball, and Doni Gorosabo, the right back. And I was just going to criticise him for not pushing forward enough,
mm-hmm.
probably rightly so. He gets forward. The little dink finish was lovely. It's his first goal, and we can't work out the numbers. His first ever senior goal, and it's approaching. It's between something like 160 top flight appearances, 140 in La Liga, and plus on top of that, Copa del Rey matches and stuff, European games of La Real, and he'd never scored a goal. Right. His first goal in senior football. So it was a nice moment for him.
Yeah, Monday night is Almeria versus Sevilla. We could miss a great story, Terry. We could miss the big one, couldn't we, if they get the win. Almeria.
Well, I worked out the interest, and I'm working on this game, not on the comms tonight, on Monday night. The local derby is 200 miles away.
Yeah.
so it's like the Spurs-Manchester City derby.
Yeah.
it was 200 miles away in Andalusia, Almeria across to Sevilla. I've done the drive from both places, to both places, from Malaga in the middle. And I've often thought that when I've gone, Derby, it's like
Andalusian rivals.
Miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So passionate local derby tonight. We'll have to pick that up with Peyton. Try and remember. If they win, we'll remember to pick it up. We didn't spend a lot of time also soon as 1-0 win against Alaves last Monday, did we?
No.
Sorry.
Boudry is another one for the Pichichi. He scored in that one, didn't he, again?
Yes. These unlikely Pichichi candidates. It'd be rude of Jude Bellingham to win it. This is the year, isn't it, to leave some bang out. No, some honest La Liga striker could be their year this year, couldn't it? If Jude just does the decent thing and lets everybody else score all the goals. Right, well, enjoy the game tonight, Terry. We'll see how the European games pan out in the week, and we'll be back for the Patreons later in the week, patreon.com/LTEL. And for everybody, we'll see you next week for another La Liga Weekly podcast. We'll see you then.
luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.